Welcome to Historically St. Pete, a weekly conversation where we explore the truths and the myths of the people and events that have created the Sunshine City. Hi, my name is Rui Frias, and I have the coolest job in town. I'm the executive director of the St. Petersburg Museum of History. Located on the St. Pete Pier, the Museum of History has been sharing the stories of the Sunshine City for 103 years now. We are so happy to be able to share them with you here on Radio St. Pete. So today we're going to talk a little bit about art, public art to be specific. Public art plays such a huge part in our lives here in St. Petersburg. Whether it's on the pier, on the side of a bank, on a fire station, or yes, even a street intersection. From the sculpted gardens of Snell Isle to the vibrant murals of today, public art has long played a vital role in shaping the cultural landscape of St. Petersburg. In our early days, developers focused on incorporating artistic and architectural features inspired by European cities. Public art concepts expanded during the Works Progress Administration, the WPA era of the 1930s and 40s. President Roosevelt funded artists to create artistic projects in public spaces. Like, for instance, here in St. Petersburg, the Coast Guard base at Bayborough Harbor has a beautiful, massive George Snow Hill mural that fills all the walls of the officer's dining room. Created back in the 1930s, that mural still stands today in Bayborough Harbor. This legacy carried forward in St. Petersburg with the rise of outdoor murals, early light installations, and the adoption of the Percent for Arts Ordinance. The Museum of History recently opened an exhibit as part of the city's art archives called Visual Voices. This exhibition brings together historic murals, sculptures, and contemporary installations to explore how public art has influenced local visual culture and created space for a diversity of voices in the city's art history. So today, we have one of the artists whose art is hanging in the gallery. We've got artist Derek Donnelly with us, a St. Pete native. Derek created a spectacular mural in the gallery titled A Bird's Eye View, which, by the way, can be yours at the end of the exhibit for a generous donation to the Museum of History. Welcome, Derek. Glad you could join us today.
Thanks for having me.
So you've been in the art scene, the public art scene here forever in this area, right? How did you get started?
Yeah, I started just coming down. You know, there's a lot of buzz going on 600 block, you know, 2008, 2009, 2010, you know, when things started to, you know, evolve a little bit there. I just started coming down, wanted to be part of it, and met a couple artists, Bill Wu, Aurelius artist Jennifer Chanley, a few different people, and yeah, just started coming down and doing paintings on the sidewalk in front of the bars and restaurants. And you know, we started a little art meet, but there was definitely already kind of a little buzz going on, you know, a couple things happening. So, yeah, I just wanted to be part of it and kind of started, you know, back then. The transition to the murals was a couple years later. But, yeah, it was all a matter of just trying to get involved and get, you know, try to become a local artist in my own hometown here, you know.
Yeah, you mentioned Billy Wu. I haven't thought about him in a long time.
Yeah.
He was definitely one of the early ones. I remember when he used to paint on Beach Drive, like outside of 400 Beach and stuff like that.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I started was, you know, with him. He was, you know, really plugged in, as you can remember. You know, so he would invite all these different artists, myself and a lot of other people, out to those events and invite us within his space. And yeah, very, very awesome guy. We miss him a lot.
So you mentioned like the transition to murals. There, you know, as per the exhibit that we have in the museum, there's always been a series of murals, but it really, really didn't take off until after this new art scene exploded in downtown, thanks to you guys. What was it like as far as, you know, was there any pushback? What was the atmosphere like when all of a sudden people started painting on these buildings?
Well, you know what, for years there was, you know, it was tough. Even speaking to, you know, former cultural affairs director Wayne Atherholt about it a while ago, he told me a story about, I think it was a mayor, one of the beaches or something, and how when he was young, he was trying to connect the beaches in downtown, you know, and that this guy, you know, asked him, well, why would anybody, you know, leave our beautiful beaches to go to your downtown? And, you know, he expressed culture and art and museums and all these wonderful things that he's, you know, a big part of throughout, you know, his whole journey here. But I think, you know, downtown needed a little more of its own identity and culture back then. As far as, you know, the way it exploded, it was very, very organic, very grassroots. There was a lot of artists just, again, wanting to be part of something. And the administration with the mayor's office and everybody back then, I mean, they seen the value. You know, they seen the social and economic impact of it and wanted to embrace it, you know. And outside, you know, a few basic rules, you know, not too much wording or advertising, that kind of thing. Right. You know, as long as things were positive and, you know, colorful and, you know, represented, you know, the area properly, that, you know, they were all for it. So
I mean, you were one of the early muralists. So, I mean, is this like when your focus changed to this?
Yeah. It, you know, we had, there's Sebastian Coolidge, Vitaly Brothers, you know, they've been around a lot longer than me. Basque, Test One, Pale Horse, you know, there was a few people around. But yeah, there was kind of a global art renaissance going on, especially with the street murals, you know, starting even mm-hmm. a few years prior to that. And I was just lucky enough to kind of be part of the trend here. That shift started to happen because it's really tough to sell paintings. You know, it's a couple hundred dollars a piece, and inside Emerald Bar or Saki Bomb Bar 548 now. But you know, we'd deck it out in there and try to sell some stuff, and we would. You know, I had a small shop right on the 600 block there for a little bit back in 2012, and you know, we'd sell some stuff, but not enough to really be sustainable. So sure. The murals, though, you know, when you're painting the side of a big building, right. You know, little different budget. And, you know, again, people, businesses, the local organizations, the municipalities, they seen the value in it. So people were willing to support us financially to do it. So don't want to say I do it for the money, but it's a thing that, you know, obviously it makes it a little easier to do. So
it's funny you say that about the selling the paintings. I remember, I think it was Leslie Curran who told me once, right. a long time ago, that, you know, St. Pete was a city where all the artists live and work, but nobody buys their art here.
You're right.
It's sold elsewhere. So,
yeah. And I think that's still, sadly, partly true. I don't know. It's a lot different now. But, I still, you know, I don't know too many. I shouldn't say any. But I don't know too many fine, you know, traditional artists just, you know, paying their bills by selling too many paintings, you know.
So what, when that started, that whole, I remember it was, I think the backside, the alley side mm-hmm. of, was it the 700 block?
600, yeah.
600 block, 600 block. Yeah.
Six to 800.
Six to eight,
but,
yeah.
But mostly right there on the 600 block. And again, I had a small little shop there. My first one was a portrait of Billy Wu. That was my first piece of public art. And in the city, you know, the night that he passed away, I think it was November 26, 2012, mm-hmm. We went out on the side, me and a couple friends, artist buddies, and started this big portrait of him, you know, trying to commemorate him like, you know, Biggie Smalls in Brooklyn or something, you know, just gotcha. As larger in life, you know, make the public see him and celebrate him. So.
I remember that portrait. And I know when the whole mural scene started, I mean, a lot of people obviously supported it. Some people looked at it with like, what the heck is that, right?
Yeah.
And it's weird because I remember, you know, being young out of college, working at the St. Pete Times at the time, driving to work every day on First Avenue, and I used to pass by Stovall's Yellow Submarine that was painted in the back of that alley. So the whole time I kept, you know, being a Beatles fan, of course, I thought it was really cool. But, you know, looking at that, thinking, wow, why don't we do more stuff like that around the city?
Right.
So when it started to explode, it was pretty amazing, and it happened pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think it just took that spirit of, you know, instead of asking why, it's why not, you know? And you know, there's enough of us, again, artists, you know, local business owners, different the museums, you know, everybody right. was just enthusiastic about it. So, you know, caught like wildfire. And again, there was kind of a global thing going on. You know, there's those murals and the technology with the spray paint. I credit it a little bit. You know, I'm able to do these neat things with that medium that, you know, you otherwise wouldn't be able to do, or it would take forever to do with a paintbrush.
Sure.
You know, so there was some evolution and some different aspects of it as well that helped.
Well, let me ask you this then. So how has the public art scene changed over these years then, other than the spray paint issue?
Yeah, locally here, I mean, since, you know, we all started, you know, back early, you know, 2012 or whatever, I don't know. It's definitely gotten a little less. Like, I'll be honest, I haven't done much work down here the past couple years. Not to say there's not work getting done. you know, other artists and stuff, but I haven't done too much. Almost, it's almost as if, you know, we did it, and now it's, I don't know, success, and in some ways, I think it's become just kind of expected, you know, and it's not, there's still a lot of support there, but it being a big part of our identity as a town now,
right?
You know, comes with, you know, different things. So I think that, I don't know, the big change is just that it was a little easier to survive downtown or living close to downtown back then. You know, obviously, you know, housing costs, everything else, you know, inflation, it's a little different now. But we, you know, again, we just had kind of a spirit of why not. And sure. I don't know that that's still, I don't know that it's as needed because, you know, there's a lot of action and business and, you know, things happening right in downtown now. Whereas, you know, again, back in 2010, 11, 12, we were looking to make more happen.
And there's more than just the murals. I mean,
absolutely.
There's public art sculptures.
Yeah,
there's
all,
even I still remember when this 16-year-old student came into the museum of history with the idea of having a sculpture do all these little birds and putting them all throughout the buildings in downtown that actually came to fruition. So there's always been a lot of that going on, mm-hmm. and that's even changed over the years. So why, saying all this, saying of all the different public art that we've had, whether it's the Red Pelicans on the pier or, you know, the murals on the walls and the buildings, why do you think public art is so important?
Well, it's the one, you know, arts discipline that's kind of for everybody, but nobody can take it home, you know, and it's very, it's neat like that. You know, again, one of the only arts disciplines that's kind of just out there in the public like that. So it's accessible to everybody. You know, it can be educational. It can be, you know, it can breed community, you know, all these wonderful things. So I think that's really what's so special about it, especially here, you know, locally in our city. You know, the one hand washes other approach that everyone has and the support. And I always said it, you know, if it's, whether it's a kid on his way to school, you know, admiring it, or, you know, maybe older guys having a tough day on the way to work, you know, it, hopefully, right. you know, it makes everybody smile.
That's fantastic. So, what do you think the future of public art is in our community? And not just, I mean, St. Petersburg, but mm-hmm. like in, you know, in Tampa Bay area in general, because a lot of other towns have also bought into the whole mural scene and everything else. So.
Yeah, it's expanded. As I mentioned, like, I haven't done a whole lot of work directly in downtown lately, but past few years, all the surrounding areas are calling, you know, it's so it really did spread quite a bit, you know, in a very organic grassroots way. I think the future's bright. You know, there's a lot of stuff happening right now, and different topics getting thrown together, and, you know, these street murals, some different stuff like that. But I don't know. And then there's the narrative that, like, oh, they're trying to, you know, get rid of the murals, and it's, and I don't think that's necessarily true. You know, the political climate makes things a little tough to navigate with some of this stuff, but I don't think that we're going to have a problem with people being inspired to continue, with the future generations continuing to do this cool stuff.
Are there any, like, major shows or projects, anything like that, you have coming down the pipeline?
I just did a wonderful event at the Museum of History.
We're trying to talk about this.
Yeah. I mean, I always, thankfully, have something going on. A lot of my stuff nowadays is very, you know, it's sometimes people's backyards, commercial, residential, you know, everything in between. I have a couple banks, Suncoast Credit Union. I've done a couple things for them. They want me to do a couple down in Fort Myers at newly renovated branches that they have. And then the Shine Mural Festival is doing 11th year this year. Mm-hmm. I've actually never directly been involved, a part of it, featured in it. But this year, I guess they want to kind of dial it back and get back to the – it's called Shine Origins is what the tentative idea and name that they're going for. So I think that you could look forward to, you know, myself, probably Johnny Vitale, possibly Sebastian Coolidge, some of the original – muralists from, you know, the early 2010s. Hopefully we get a chance to dress up 600 Block. You know, a lot of those murals haven't been touched since
right.
we painted them early on in our careers. And yeah, there's an enthusiastic group that's now, you know, helping shape what that looks like with that festival this year. So yeah, we're excited for that.
And I think it's a great idea. Because, I mean, in past years, I mean, Shine's just been an amazing festival. And in past years, you know, they've brought in artists from all over the world, actually. And, you know, this year they're focusing on you guys, right? The, the local artists, which I think is a tremendous idea because there's so much talent here.
Yeah, and, they, and they're, you know, they've always included locals. But, you know, I think this year it's going to feel a little more like it did back when we started. I anticipate. So, yeah, we're excited.
So, talking about the show at the Museum of History, you painted this masterful piece called A Berg's Eye View. Tell us what it represents.
So, visually, you know, there's a portrait, and it's my version of Tony Janus, you know, legendary flight of 1914. I had this vision to, you know, have his aviator goggles on and have somewhat of a past, present, future of St. Pete kind of in the reflection, you know, so a historical figure from, you know, from our local history, and kind of, you know, celebrating the past, present, and future of our beautiful town. So, you know, there's in the left lens or his right lens, however when you're looking at it, there's some, you know, just more nature type stuff all the way to the left where it's a little more, you know, past history. And then, obviously, his Benoist plane is there as, you know, once there was people inhabiting the area. Dolly Museum's in there. And then it kind of goes to, like, this futuristic city on the other lens. So, again, just an imaginative, fun way to reflect, literally, on the history and the timeline of different things and structures and whatnot throughout the area.
And I encourage everybody to stop by and see this. It is a tremendous piece, and I've already been measuring walls in my house. I don't know if I have a wall big enough to hang this on.
No, it's like 7 by 7 feet.
I'm trying.
But the whole exhibit's amazing. You know, the retrospect of everything and all the public art sculptures and the different. It was informative to me. You know, there was a few things in there that I either didn't know or never knew about, and it was a real treat to check it out. So I encourage everybody to.
I think people. When it comes to public art, and I get it, I understand why, but I think people, you know, look at the birth of the whole mural situation in St. Petersburg as like the birth of public art and here in our town. And when you look back at our city's history, dating back into even the 1920s, and especially the 1930s with, you know, WPA money, some of these murals in that exhibit, it talks about, you know, George Snow Hill's famous murals in City Hall. Of course, you know, the Picnic on Pasquill mural that was ripped down by Joe Waller in 1966. And you mentioned sculptures, and at the opening we had the other night, the artist who actually created the Truth sculpture that sits in Vinoy Park was in attendance.
Really?
Yeah, he was there.
I didn't get a chance to meet him.
He, I mean,
I love that. That's one of my favorite pieces in the city.
I've been looking at that thing for years. You know, it's been sitting there in Vinoy Park, and so to hear, you know, to hear him talk about, you know, how he came up with that idea, it was pretty tremendous. So, yeah, the exhibit is pretty cool. It's not just murals. It definitely talks about all the different public art, including the working model of the piece that's outside the police station now. That Mark did. So it's a pretty amazing exhibit. So I need to ask you a question here, and you can you know you can be honest and say one of your own if you wish. What's your favorite public arts piece in the whole city?
Oh yeah, none of them would be my own. okay. No, and I again a lot of credit to, you know, all the amazing artists and sculptors that you know inspired all of us growing up around here. I got to go with Paul Epling. On the interstate there with the lizard.
Oh my God! Everybody loves that.
I mean, that's probably my favorite. But you know, if we're talking so, I don't know, sculpture wise, that I mean, anything you know Mark Ayling does is incredible, obviously.
Right.
But for yesteryear and just, you know, R.I.P. Paul, I think that's definitely my favorite. What's the name of the one in the Vinoy Park? You said
the truth sculpture. Yeah.
Yeah, that's another favorite. The simplicity of it. If we're talking structures, I like the bathrooms over by you guys, the building. And that was modeled after the old, what was that modeled after, the architecture?
Well, it's funny because, you know, growing up in St. Petersburg, I grew up downtown. And
right.
That bathroom was always called Little St. Mary's.
Right.
It looked like St. Mary's Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Then, unfortunately, I had to grow up and become a historian, and now I realize that story is not true.
Okay.
But anyway, same architect, same builder.
I see.
And it was actually built for a reason. The bathroom was built first.
I see.
And he built a miniature version. He'd already got the contract to build St. Mary's Catholic Church, but he wanted to build a miniature version of the church to make sure everything worked, like the roof, the octagon roof and stuff. So that's
what
why
year
he
was
built
that.
It's 1927.
Oh, okay.
He built that. Wow. Yeah. So, it, you know, when you look at some of the stuff, and, you know, especially the lizard, I mean, ever since everyone, I think, has been a little kid in St. Petersburg, when you got on the interstate at Fifth Avenue North, you saw that lizard, you know, on top of the roof of the building. And, you know, if you went through Boyd Hill through Nature Trail, there was more pieces there. Mm-hmm. And some of that stuff, I guess people didn't realize. I mean, I know I didn't as a kid that this is – I'm looking at public art. I just thought someone made something cool out of metal and put it on a roof.
Yeah. No, it was a little more – it wasn't – you know, it didn't have its category like that yet. Yeah, we had a few of – I think it was Paul's pieces up Automobile Museum near Pinellas Park.
Yes.
There were several up there for a few years too. But, yeah, I remember being a little kid on the bus headed to Perkins Elementary and, you know, checking that thing out. You know, I think they put it up. Early 90s, maybe?
Late
80s, early 90s.
Late 80s, probably.
But yeah, I remember that inspiring me a lot. And any of the larger than life, all that big fun stuff, you know. So my work's really reflective of a lot of that. You know, the, you know, Florida life. And, you know, we're an hour and a half from Universal and Disney World. So, you know, of course, the larger than life, big colorful things.
Right.
You know, are what I gravitate towards. Mural wise, my favorite. There's a newer one on, forget what property it is, but you can see it from the interstate. And there's the alligator. It's an artist, Abyss.
There's
the alligator, real cartoony, more like Pixar cartoon, like super realistic cartoon looking. That's one of my new favorites. I'd say that. But with, you know, 500 murals in the city, it's hard to pick a favorite. You know.
So what happens when I own a building, right? And then I call you and go, hey, I want a mural on this building. Mm-hmm. So with the mural you created for this exhibit, basically we just said, hey, it would be really fun if we had something historic. And you just you went crazy and used your great artistic mind and created this thing. So what happens, though, when someone owns a building on the side of the interstate and they want a mural? What is the process? Do they, like, is the idea dictated? Do you just come up with these ideas?
It's very circumstantial, case-by-case basis. You know, sometimes because there's a need or a want, you know, from certain people sometimes. Obviously, you know, if they have a business, you know, maybe they want it to be somewhat reflective or catch attention to that location or,
right.
You know, so there's different reasons that folks want to do these things. But yeah, sometimes it's just, you know, hey, what do you think? And those are usually the best because you're letting the artists, you know, be themselves a little bit more. And but there's always a little bit of compromises, even with the structures and, you know, painting on the side of a building. You know, you have to be mindful of certain obstacles or, you know, whether it's plumbing or conduit, you know, there's a lot of different things that need to be considered. So, sometimes the designs, you know, that'll dictate the design a little bit. But yeah, so I'm generally a commercial artist, you know, with that being said, a lot of, you know, hotel stuff, restaurants, that kind of thing. Which all serves a purpose, but not to say it's not still art, though. You know,
absolutely.
You know, eye candy. So,
absolutely. Well, I want to thank you, Derek, for joining us today on Historically St. Pete.
Thanks for having me.
This has been tremendous. Yeah, and I want to thank everybody for listening on Radio St. Pete. I invite everyone to tune in next Monday for Historically St. Pete, and don't forget to stop by the Museum of History on your next visit to the St. Pete Pier and explore the rich and unique history of the Sunshine City, as well as Derek's amazing bird's eye view. You can visit historystpete.org for more details on our exhibits and our events.